D-Mace, Vingen, and Donick 1025, The Game, Derek Mason, Adam Vingen, and David Janes here with you. Pleased to be joined on our phone line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com, by Chad Withrow from Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow on Outkick. Chad, hello, how are you? I don't hear Chad. Where is Chad?
Where is Chad?
Where is Chad?
Hey, guys.
There's Chad. Hello, Chad. How are you?
There we go. Doing great, guys.
So the other day on your program, Chad, you manifested Lane Kiffin to the New York Giants. Why does that make sense to you?
Well, I think the Jackson Dart connection, first and foremost, would make a lot of sense. I really do believe that Lane Kiffin's very happy in Oxford, and I believe more and more that he's not going to leave for another college job, but I could see him leaving for the NFL. Look, Lane Kiffin, you know, they do well at Ole Miss with recruiting in the transfer portal, but even Lane Kiffin doesn't want to mess with NIL and the transfer portal and recruiting. If you get a chance to go get paid a ton of money to go to the NFL, I think a lot of college coaches will jump at that opportunity and move on to the NFL, and Lane Kiffin's much like all of them. And I don't know if you guys saw the report, but Bruce Feldman wrote in today that he's hearing Lane Kiffin in the Titans.
I did hear that.
That's a mutual interest, so... that's another NFL possibility for him. But I do think the Giants make a lot of sense with Jackson Dart. And I think the Dolphins, if that job comes open, is another one that's been hinted at that Lane Kiffin might like. So I think he's going to stay in Ole Miss or he's going to end up going to the NFL, if I had to guess. And I could see any one of those three NFL jobs being something that he's definitely going to take a look at.
Let's talk about that report that you just mentioned for a moment. It was buried in a longer story written by Bruce Feldman and Ralph Russo over at The Athletic talking about Lane Kiffin. And then the two of them just threw in this little nugget. Quote, "This situation seems to be trending in a positive direction for Rebels fans who would like to keep their coach. But one note of caution, one industry source said there was at least a modicum of interest in Kiffin among decision makers with the Tennessee Titans." Now, Lane Kiffin makes, what, $9 million per season at Ole Miss? I can't imagine a world where the Tennessee Titans come close to matching that. But just the idea of that, Chad, it has me salivating a little bit. I can only imagine what the reaction would be if Lane Kiffin did indeed join the Tennessee Titans, as far-fetched as that sounds.
I mean, I think if you had Lane Kiffin as the head coach, you know, you wouldn't be blacked out for your game in the three biggest markets in the state.
We did talk about that, yeah.
Right, you know, you're probably going to be played in Knoxville and Memphis this week if Lane Kiffin is your coach. I don't know. Lane Kiffin certainly matured a lot since he was the Raiders coach. He's matured a ton since he was the Tennessee Vols coach. Heck, he's matured since he was at USC. So I think that comparing his NFL career to the disaster that was working for Al Davis with the Raiders would be a mistake, and he's definitely grown a lot since then. This is Lane Kiffin's world. You know, we're living in it. I was at an event the other night, and Jimmy Sexton was at the event. I'm looking at Jimmy Sexton, and he's on his phone the whole time. I don't know who he's talking to, guys, but I'm going to assume it's Lane Kiffin or someone involved with Lane Kiffin.
Did we lose Chad?
I think we lost Chad.
So he.
I think Lane Kiffin heard that he was talking.
Lane Kiffin swooped in, yeah, and cut the
Let's
call.
Let's mix that.
That's
Let's
okay.
But listen, the whole Lane Kiffin thing, I don't understand unless, you know, when you're talking about ego, it's like, I want to see if I can accomplish the next best thing. I want to see if I can perform on the highest stage there is, the way I performed on the college stage. So I can understand from that point wanting to push yourself and see if you can do it. But with these buyouts so large and, you know, these coaches getting paid so much in college, and a lot of times, more times than not, they're going to get opportunities to rewrite the ship. In the NFL, it seems like it's like, on to the next one. If you don't get it right in a year and a half, on to the next one, or you're on a hot seat. And the buyout isn't as large. So why would you even want to tackle that world outside of saying, hey, I believe I can do it, so I want to try it?
We'll welcome back in Chad Withrow. Chad, please continue your thought.
Hey, guys, can you hear me?
Yes.
All right, sorry. Yeah, cut away there for a sec. Apologies, I'm traveling right now if I cut out again. But, no, look, D-Mace, you bring up a lot of good points. Mm-hmm. I think it's a quality of life situation.
Yeah.
I mean, I really do. Like, I think there's a lot more peace of mind coaching in the NFL because the workload is way better because you're not having to worry about things because guys are under actual contracts and you're not worried about who's going to leave the moment they don't get the playing time they want or anything else. It's just much more structured right now. So I do think we're going to enter an era where you see some college coaches that want to bowl for the NFL, but vice versa, you're also definitely going to see some guys who want to get that buyout money and want to get that contract that gives them more freedom and more money if it doesn't work out someplace. So it's going to come to a head with Lane Kiffin. He's not signed an extension at Ole Miss, and until he does that, all the speculation will continue about where he may or may not go.
Chad, you mentioned before the lack of Titans coverage outside of Middle Tennessee. The game on Sunday will be shown, of course, in Middle Tennessee. It will not be shown in Memphis. It will not be shown in Knoxville. It will not be shown in Chattanooga. We went back and looked yesterday at the Titans game from 2 weeks ago against the Chargers, and the entire state of Tennessee got that game. So how should the Titans feel about their apparently shrinking footprint in the NFL, and more specifically within their own state?
Well, they should feel terrible. I don't know if they do feel terrible based on the reaction of some in the organization, but they should feel terrible about it because it's all their fault on this and the lack of interest. Okay, hot take time, guys. And I have always believed this, and I'll continue to stand by this. It never should have been the Tennessee Titans. It should have been the Nashville Titans from day one. This is not the state's team. This is the mid-state's team. And I understand why Bud Adams did it in the beginning, because he was trying to appeal to an entire region, and they wanted to be sort of the Mid-South team, and putting Tennessee with the Titans made more sense at that time. But I've always viewed this as Nashville's team. It's not Memphis's team. It's not Knoxville's team. It's not Chattanooga's team. It's Nashville's team. So I really wish this team was the Nashville Titans. That's my hot take of the week for you guys.
Well, Tennessee Titans has a better ring to it.
The alliteration is good. Yeah, it sounds good. I understand the alliteration, but I've just never associated the Titans with the state of Tennessee. I've always associated them with Nashville. And it kind of bothers me for some reason when NFL people call them Tennessee and not the Titans for that reason. But that's just a personal nitpick of mine. And, you know, your listeners can take that with what they want and decide for themselves. But I've always thought this is more of a Nashville team.
Well, you're right, because Memphis, the Grizzlies named their team after their city. They didn't say Tennessee Grizzlies. So I can understand from that standpoint why, you know, because it's more familiar here in the mid-state than, say, Memphis or Knoxville. Chad, earlier in the week we were discussing Vanderbilt and them, you know, brand recognition. They may be suffering from that. Because you look at teams like Texas and Notre Dame, and even though they've had losses, those losses were counted as plus, but Vandy's losses were counted as minuses, and they should have, but I think they're not giving Vandy the benefit of the doubt. So do you believe that they are suffering, based on where they're ranked right now in their schedule, that if they were a bigger brand, they would be higher?
You know, I don't know that it's as much about the brand as much about the schedule so far with Vandy. And I know that sounds crazy for an SEC team because, look, I think all of America is rooting for Vandy to get in. You know, they're kind of – you remember when Northwestern basketball got in to the tournament a few years ago and all these people came out of the woodwork that are media members that are Northwestern grads that were rooting them on the whole time? I think Vandy's kind of got that same mass appeal nationally of wanting to see that underdog program get into the big dance. So I think people want them in this tournament. Here's what's working against them right now, and here's where Vandy fans need to be rooting the rest of the way. They need to become Tennessee fans for at least the next 2 weeks. They need Tennessee to be 8-3, and they need to come to Knoxville and beat an 8-3 Tennessee team. That's really going to help their overall resume with a huge road win like that. They don't need Tennessee to mess around and lose to Florida, which Tennessee seemingly always does, because if that happens, D-Mace, you're going to come up with a situation where, I mean, their three best wins may be over 3 5-loss teams. And at that point, it'd be LSU, Missouri, and Tennessee. you don't want all three of those teams to be with five losses or worse. Mm-hmm. Because then you might be looking up at someone. You're also rooting against Texas and Oklahoma this weekend. You want those two teams to both suffer their third loss. Because if both of them win, they're going to remain ahead of you also. So I think there's a lot of variables. It's not as simple as win against Kentucky and win against Tennessee and get in. I think the odds are in their favor to get in if that happens. But there's a lot of things that are going to happen over these next few weeks that it's certainly no slam dunk that even at 10-2, they're going to be guaranteed a spot.
Okay, with that being said, if you have a three-loss Texas and a three-loss Notre Dame, what do you believe more likely would happen, that they would get in over a 10-2 Vandy, or Vandy would get in over those two teams that have three losses?
So that is going to be the big question, right? Mm-hmm. Because the Texas one specifically, you know, we saw Texas beat Vandy. So I can see a committee arguing, well, they had one more loss, but, you know, their loss was at Georgia and they beat them head-to-head. So we're going to favor Vandy. I hope that doesn't happen. I hope Vandy would get in that scenario. But I could certainly see that playing out that way. Now, Notre Dame, that's fascinating too, because they're squarely in right now with two losses. They get Pitt tomorrow. I think they've got to win that one, but do they? I mean, is a 9-3 Notre Dame team going to be at the top of all the possible 9-3 teams, and they're going to get that bid? I don't know. So I think right now what Vandy needs to hope happens is Tennessee continues to win. You go to Knoxville, you notch your huge road win that way, and you punch your ticket, because that Tennessee win will mean a lot more as long as they're 8-3 going into that game.
Chad Withrow is with us. Chad, let's focus on what I am looking forward to the most in terms of college football this weekend. That is the matchup between Texas and Georgia. What is your read on that matchup? How do you think it goes?
I think Texas is going to win. I think that Georgia has been the team all year that has not been overwhelming, but has found a way late, even if it's, you know, Max Gilbert of Tennessee missing a field goal to beat them. They find ways to win. And Georgia's become that team in the last 5 weeks. Guys, they won five straight in those five games. That includes an overtime win at Kentucky. That includes an overtime win at Mississippi State, where they rallied from 17 down in the last 8 minutes to win the game. They looked really good against Vandy, I thought, until that fourth quarter. I think Texas is figuring it out. They've got the most sacks in America. They got a really good run defense. Georgia does not run the ball that well. I think the game's going to come down to Gunnar Stockton's arm, and I think he's got some receivers out, and their injuries are plaguing Georgia more than Texas. So I think Texas goes to Athens and keeps their playoff hopes alive and gets a huge win for Steve Sarkisian. So I'm like you, Adam. I'm most interested in that game. And I'm picking Texas to win. I think they got a much better chance on the road than Oklahoma does at Alabama, because Oklahoma, they need that win also if they're going to stay alive in the playoff hunt.
Earlier this week, we were talking about a story that Pete Thamel of ESPN.com put up last Saturday morning. He re-polled 25 NFL scouts and executives about the 2026 quarterback class. Fernando Mendoza was the runaway winner in this poll, and this was posted before Indiana's come-from-behind win at Penn State. So the question that Derek and I bandied about earlier this week, is Fernando Mendoza worth trading up to the number one overall pick if the Titans have that number one overall pick, which they are in position to have at the moment? Is Fernando Mendoza a good enough prospect to compel teams that don't get the number one pick to trade up for him?
I hope so, for the Titans' sake, that he is. I don't think that he is, personally, but I hope someone believes in him enough. And we know that somebody's always going to get carried away with a quarterback and want to move up to get that quarterback. So maybe Mendoza's that guy. I don't think he's that good. I saw Todd McShay's mock draft, his first one, and I think he had the Jets trading up to number two, or someone trading up to get Mendoza at number two, but not at number one. So we'll see how all that plays out. I don't think there's a single quarterback that is trade up to number one and give up what you have to do that worthy this year. Ty Simpson's rising also, but, you know, I don't know what that's going to look like come draft time. But for the Titans' sake, you got to hope, guys, that someone falls in love with Mendoza or any of the other quarterbacks enough to where they'll trade up and offer the moon to the Titans. Because right now, that's what the Titans need. They need the moon and the stars.
To your point, in that mock draft and from Todd McShay. You are right. The Jets trade up to number 2 to take Fernando Mendoza. Browns trade up to number 3 to take Ty Simpson. The Titans take Arvell Reese, linebacker out of Ohio State, with the number 1 overall pick in Todd McShay's flash mock draft that he posted earlier today. Chad Withrow from Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow has been our guest on D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick. He joins us every Friday, usually at 4:20, but today at 5 o'clock. Chad, great stuff as always. We'll catch up next week.
You guys will have plenty to talk about if the Titans take a linebacker, a number 1 overall. Everybody's going to be real excited with that sound pick by the Titans. Guys, yes. Have a great weekend. Always fun hopping on with you.
You as well, Chad. 615-737-1025. We'll take your thoughts on the slate of college football this weekend. A ton of fantastic games. We'll take your thoughts on the Titans, who we will get to next, because we heard from Jeffrey Simmons the other day for the first time in about a month. Because Jeffrey Simmons was back on the practice field this week, and he said something about his future and his thoughts on the plans of the organization. We will play that for you. Coming up next, 615-737-1025. We are broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service.